Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Brian Lehrer is on assignment. Pope Benedict XVI is on New York City soil. Cardinal Edward Egan, Brooklyn and Queens Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio, Mayor Bloomberg, and two school children greeted him at JFK this morning. His agenda today turns to global issues. He's set to address the United Nations around 11 o'clock, and the pontiff will likely discuss the war in Iraq. But the news so far of Benedict's first visit to the United States is the unannounced private meeting he had with several victims of sexual abuse by priests from the Boston area yesterday. Three of the survivors at that meeting have reacted positively to their audience with the Pope. Others have not, calling it a PR stunt. I'm joined by Mark Serrano with SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Mark, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning, Amy.
What do you think? Political maneuver by the Pope or a genuine gesture?
You know, for the survivors who met with him, I think it's great. If that was something meaningful to them and they got some value of it, that's just fine. But the reality is, this is the only man on the face of the earth who can hold Catholic bishops accountable based on their monarchical structure without any system of checks and balances. The reason why these scandals occurred in the first place, based on court documents and published news reports and proven fact, is that Catholic bishops looked the other way. They allowed perpetrators to commit crimes against additional victims in the thousands across the country. And, the Pope has come to America with great fanfare as an emperor. It's interesting because people take a look at this and ooh and ah about what the Pope will say about clergy abuse and the fact that he sat down and prayed with a number of victims, and yet not a single child on the earth is safer today because of these things the Pope has done this week.
Catholics, especially survivors of child sexual abuse by priests, please call 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also go to our webpage, WNYC.org, and click on the Brian Lehrer Show where you can make your comments. Is it enough for the leader of the Roman Catholic Church to have had this meeting? What more would you like to see him do? Call us at 212-433-9692. Mark, would you have liked to have met with him if you had the opportunity?
Well, I wouldn't turn it down. I mean, I think, as advocates for those who have been traumatized by their Catholic priests across the country and who have been turned away for help by Catholic bishops, we're optimistic that we'll always keep trying. But, we've been a lot of years at this. I mean, before he was Pope, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger oversaw these cases for 24 years and was was a part of the cover-up as a result. Instilling his bishops across the country, across the world, not to report these crimes to police. That policy hasn't really changed in effect. What we need to see is real action, because these words that the bishop, that the Pope is saying this week, his visit with these victims, there's nothing real behind it. There's no real action. Real action would be rounding up the bishops in America who caused these scandals, and strip them of their privileges, demote them, kick them out of ministry. That's real action. That would be a first step towards protecting kids in the church.
So you would like, for example, Cardinal Law, the former Bishop of Boston, who I believe now works at the Vatican, to be defrocked?
Absolutely. I mean, Cardinal Law was one of the most notorious aiders and abettors of perpetrators in the church, and yet he's got a cushy position overseeing one of the prized basilicas in Rome. Most absolutely. And frankly, Cardinal Egan isn't far behind him. I mean, there was a perpetrator in ministry just in the past several months in the New York Archdiocese. Cardinal Egan's got a number of cases like that, just like Cardinal Law, although Cardinal Law is certainly the most notorious. But truly, I mean, if you think about the crimes that have taken place under the watchful eyes of these bishops, the rape of children, the sexual molestation, the oral rape and sodomy of children, okay, under the watchful eyes of bishops, why should these men be in ministry? Why should they be serving? And frankly, children are still not safe today because the church does not have a system of checks and balances. Not one bishop in America has derided his peers and called one of them out as being unfit for office.
Diana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thank you for your call. You say you were molested by a priest in 1962. What do you make of the Pope's meeting?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's condescending. I think it's I'm transgendered. I was born male at the age of 6. I was drugged and raped in Camp St. Joseph in upstate New York by the head of it, the priest who ran it, who was always making dirty jokes at us, by the way, saying things like, well, what do you sell in your store, pointing to our flies and everything. Mm-hmm. I think the Pope is disingenuous. I think he's a former Nazi. We should remember this. I think he is condescending, and I think saying, you know, reconciliation, well, that's a nice way to avoid being sued by understandably outraged people whose lives were changed forever by these monstrous men who destroyed and somehow felt a sense of entitlement in destroying because they felt that they were on the side of God, you know?
Diana, thank you for your call. Mark Serrano, with SNAP, SNAP put out a statement saying Benedict's remarks won't change anything, and you mentioned that a few moments ago. It was changed, though, that he even met with victims, no? And wasn't SNAP asking him first and foremost to do that?
Well, we wrote a letter to the Pope months ago on behalf of 7,000 survivors of clergy sexual abuse seeking a meeting. The Pope didn't go to Boston. The Pope didn't meet with us. That's why one has to be suspect of a meeting like this, because it's very carefully orchestrated. It was done secretly. It was carefully orchestrated outside public view. You know, no one even knew it was taking place. They were very, you know, selective about who they would meet with instead of being challenged to take real actions on behalf of kids. And this is not a crisis of the past. This is present today because the systems and the protocols in the church are still in place.
I want to bring in Dan Bartley. He's the president of Voice of the Faithful, the National Catholic Lay Group seeking more transparency and accountability of the church in the wake of the child sexual abuse scandal. Dan, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Amy. Pleased to be here.
Your statement called the Pope's remarks and this meeting a welcome first step, but you also say in the statement that it was a symbolic meeting. Do you think it was an empty gesture?
Not entirely, and we don't know until we hear some more information from the survivors themselves. But more importantly, we were encouraged by the fact that the Pope acknowledged that the sexual abuse crisis was very poorly handled, and those were his words, not mine. So true healing starts with the fact that you acknowledge the problem, you admit that it happened, and this is the first time that happened. Coming from the Pope, we think that's pretty important. But of course, actions speak louder than words, and at the same time, the underlying issues that caused the crisis in the first place, as Mark points out, still are there. Bishops are not accountable to the people they serve. The laity are still excluded from participating in decisions, and the culture of secrecy still exists.
Ari from the Bronx, you're on WNYC.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on. Hello.
Hi. What are your thoughts on the Pope's statement? Has it changed your view of him at all and the way the church has responded to the child sexual abuse crisis?
I want to say that no, it absolutely has not. I don't mean to be cynical or even say anything negative about the Pope, but these people are in their great high positions. They're sitting in their lofty positions. These things have been happening for so long. I am just glad that the forum is open, that we're speaking on it, because what we need to do is stop waiting and thinking these people are really going to do something. We just need to do it ourselves. I'm glad that someone is speaking and saying something about this, because the children do need the help. And I don't have any faith in that whole religious, I just don't have any faith in that. I love God. I grew up Catholic. I'm not Catholic anymore. I just think they're not going to do anything. It's all up to us. We have to be responsible for what's happening to humanity around us.
Ari, thank you for your call. And Dan Bartley, isn't that sort of where Voice of the Faithful is in terms of its motivation. It's getting lay people to be more involved in the church, encouraging people to take action, get involved on their parish councils and their finance boards, and really work from a grassroots level to try and change the church rather than, as Ari put it, wait for the hierarchy to get it, a top-down change.
Well said, Amy. That's exactly what Voice of the Faithful is about. We believe the church faces many challenges today, but we're hopeful and optimistic that if the laity become more involved, that true transformation and change is possible, and we're committed to making that change happening.
Aaron in Teaneck, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. My basic question is the whole criminality question here, and it, you know, typically, any other environment in our society, or really in civilization, whether it would be any other religious organization or any other educational organization, if you had this type of systemic, criminality going on when it comes to children, you would have a lot of prosecution. I mean, and I guess I don't understand where the criminal justice system is and also what the impact is, both on the media side. Because, I mean, the idea that you have thousands and who knows how many, tens of thousands of children over decades being assaulted, basically, and almost no criminal action has been taken. That, to me, is just, I don't understand, where the accountability is both at a legal and at a, And from a news standpoint, I mean, just our whole society is really broken down on these people, and we're expecting an organization reform itself with no criminal action or accountability.
Aaron,
I just don't see, I've never seen that happen in any other organization. I wouldn't expect it to happen in the Catholic Church.
Aaron, thank you for your call. Mark Serrano with SNAP. I would say the U.S. bishops in the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops would argue that they have taken great steps. They have settled cases. They've turned over reports to prosecutors. Some cases have been prosecuted. A lot of it because of the statute of limitations on child sexual abuse can't be prosecuted. So some of these cases in the 50s, 60s, 70s, there's really no legal recourse at this point except maybe for settlements. Have you been satisfied with that response?
Amy, the bishop's policy is basically a piece of paper. Their attempts at resolving this have been meager and benign. They take this approach this very passively when we need definitive action. And the problem, Amy, is there is no consequence in their own rules for noncompliance. So there are bishops across the country and cardinals in Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, New York, who have flouted the rules, who have ignored the rules, and there is no consequence for them as a church leader whatsoever. So I think what Dan's group and others are seeking is accountability for bishops. There is none in their own rules. There's none coming from the Pope whatsoever. There's really no consequence. If they decide to take no action, nothing happens to them. It's the same thing. It's the same way that the church was structured before 2002. And I would tell you, to suggest, I would say respectfully, to suggest that an acknowledgement from the Pope is something constructive, I think really sets a low standard. Because if your house is burning down and the arsonist is walking off your property, the police show up, the fire department shows up, the police let the arsonist go, and there may be children still up on the third floor, you don't want the chief of police or the chief of the fire department showing up and saying to you, I'm acknowledging that your house is on fire, and I'll do everything possible to try to protect children here. The Pope merely said the church would do everything possible. Mm-hmm. That's not definitive action that we need.
Bob from Chappaqua, you're on WNYC, and you'll have the last brief word.
Good morning.
Good morning. You were a victim of child sexual abuse? What do you make of the Pope's comments yesterday and the fact that he even met with child abuse victims? Would you have wanted to meet with him?
I would love to have met with him, and one of the first questions I would have asked is, why in all of these years, and I'm going back 45 years since I was accosted by a priest, have you not done anything more proactively than what you've done? I think it's you have to know this. The bishops know this. The cardinals know that these are not stupid people. And for them to let this go on and on, I would suggest it to you that all of my friends and I who were attacked by these priests in our hometown, they were never, ever a word said about it, period. Those priests ran that town with iron fists. The bishops backed them up. And the one guy that was exposed was sent away to some home and then back into a parish 2 years later.
Bob, thank you for your call, and I think your experience, as Mark Serrano would attest, and Dan Bartley, too, who with Voice of the Faithful and its interaction with child sexual abuse victims, your experience is sadly all too common. That's all the time we have for this. Thank you so much to Mark Serrano, spokesperson for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, and Dan Bartley, leader of Voice of the Faithful, the National Catholic lay group seeking more transparency and accountability of the church in the wake of the child sexual abuse
scandal. Thank you, Amy and Dan.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Mark.